Matthew 11. The message today is friends in life and in death. This week, friends in life. Next week, if we are alive, friends in death. I want to read several scriptures in the New Testament, first of all, and then one or two in the Old Testament. Matthew 11. Verse 18, our Savior is speaking, describing the people, the children of Israel. He said, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He hath a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' And wisdom is justified by her works." Now, Luke 11. Verse 5. "And he said unto them, 'Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth." And look at chapter 15. Our Savior, the shepherd, goes and finds the lost sheep. And when he does in verse 5, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." Now, chapter 16. Our Savior in verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles." And in Proverbs, turn to Proverbs. Because I want to read a verse that seems so self-evident, but when you look at it in the Hebrew, it means just the opposite. And so in your King James, in verse 24, it says something like this: "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." If you're going to have friends, you must be friendly. You say, well, that seems evident. But listen to what it says in the Hebrew, 18:24. "He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction." Literally it says, a man of friends to his own destruction. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful for the many things you tell us in the Bible. You tell us heavenly things. Only your Son could tell us those things. But he said, if I have told you earthly things, he tells us things that are down to earth as well. And we rejoice in this. Let us know that at times we are better to understand the earthly things than we are able to understand the heavenly. but our Father. May we understand one and then the other, the heavenly and the earthly. So bless our time together today, Father, that these people might be blessed. Let us know the uselessness of beating the air, but our Father, if your Spirit empowers, then your will shall be accomplished. Grant that, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you have many friends? You probably have fewer than you think. But, had I read you the ever so many passages that have to do with friends in the Bible, it may be that you have more than you think. One that you're not very familiar with, but others that the Bible speaks of as friends, and yet they are among those that are included when it says, a man with many friends has them to his own destruction. That some of us have too few friends, and some of us have too many friends. Because the Bible takes both the genuine and the false, the good and the bad, the strong, the mediocre, and he calls them all friends. And in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, there are basically two words that describe friends. One of them is rea, and it means simply a person that is close to you, more or less. And this word is translated by 9 different English words, but what the translators have done is this. They have read the context, and if the context is such, they say it means friend in this context. And so, some people that you're associated with, they are your friends. But then there is another word that is translated love elsewhere in the Old Testament, basically, and it means a friend that you love, that is dear to you. There is affection between you and that individual. But there are both kinds. One is called a friend as well as the other. And it's the same way in the New Testament. 4 times our Lord uses the word heteros, and 3 times it's translated friend, which means simply an associate, a clansman, a companion, but it's translated friend. But then there is the word which is translated love in other places and kiss in other places, and that is the word that is translated friend most of the time in the New Testament. So a friend ordinarily is one that you love and that loves you. There is a bond of affection between both of you. Now, that is why I asked the question, do you have many friends? How many friends do you have? Because I think that there are very few who have friends that they truly love, and that you are a friend concerning those that you call friends that stick it closer than a brother. It says concerning friends, a friend loveth at all times. And I do not know if many of you are friends in that way. You stick closer than a brother. You are a friend that loves at all times. I'm afraid that most of my friends are like those that the Lord Jesus tells us about in Luke chapter 11. You see, the Lord Jesus sees through you and all the talk that you give. He says this, which of you shall have a friend, and you shall go to that friend at midnight and say to him, notice, friend, Lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall say, trouble me not. Now, do you have a lot of friends that way? You need something, you want something, you go to them at an inconvenient hour and you say, friend, and their reply is, trouble me not. And this is the excuses. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. It's impossible for me to get up and do anything for you. And the Lord Jesus, having seen through it all, says, verily I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because he troubles him, he'll give him everything he needs. Now, do you have a lot of friends that way? What is so sad is that I have all kinds of friends. Some are dear, and some are more or less close. And some are friends until you go to them at midnight and you want to borrow something. And then they do not feel at all embarrassed to say, don't trouble me. I've gone to bed. My children are asleep. Don't disturb us now. I can't get up and do anything for you. Well, this is something that is remarkable, and I rejoice in it. If you have anybody that is truly your friend, and they ask a request of you, if you are truly their friend and the request is unreasonable, they should be able to tell you no and explain to you why you're out of place and you're asking too much. And that should not spoil the friendship. But at the same time, if you are truly their friend and you love them and you are different from this friend in Luke chapter 11, when they come and knock on your door at midnight, when everything is settled down, you will immediately get up and give them everything they need. Now, I may be one who will get up and give you what you need without criticizing you, but I may feel it in my heart and say, is he out of his mind coming here at this time of the night? But I prove myself faithful in that respect. I have a friend. He's younger than I am, and he had been in our home, and he was going home at a great distance, and it was wintry, and it started snowing, and we had gone to bed, and I think it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Somebody came pounding on the door, and he was standing there, and we thought we'd gotten rid of him at 11 o'clock. And I looked at him, and he said, I'm back. I said, come on in. Now, I could have said, why are you getting me up at this hour? He was caught in a snowstorm, and he needed a place to lodge, and I opened my door and let him in. You see, I'm a friend indeed. Aren't you glad that I'm that kind of friend? And I'm hoping that all of us are friends that way. But most of us, the Lord has exposed us to saying, trouble me not. Now, you're supposed to be up the road. I entertained you for 5 days. You're supposed to be gone, but you're back again. But if we do tell friends that, then a friend should be able to accept it and profit by it, and that friendship should not be destroyed. Because it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Would you like for friends to come and wound you, tell you your imperfections, your faults, what you do wrong? Don't you love the people to tell you those things? How many friends do you have that you would accept a criticism like that from? I'm afraid there are few. But there are friends in the Bible of various sorts, and the scripture tells us that some are good and some are bad. Some are fair-weather friends, and at times you introduce a person, this is my dear friend, this is my very close friend. At other times you would say, this is my friend, because he's not so close to you. And what is so sad is this. I know one man, and I can verify this, and someone asks a question, does he have any friends? And the answer, he has no friends. He only has associates whom he uses. Isn't that a sad thing? Some people are that way. They claim your friendship, and the only reason they want you as a friend is to use you. And some friends are that way. And, alas, concerning one, I heard him described this way, he is unloved and he is unlovable. How terrible to be described that way. And so you listen to these things because I may be describing you and you're not aware of it. But there was another man, some of you will remember him if you're old enough, his name was Will Rogers, and this is what he said. He said, I never met a man I didn't like. And I say this, he must not have known the brethren. Because there are many men, brethren and not brethren, that I don't like. And God's word tells me that I'm to be that way. If you read Proverbs 18, that says, if you've got friends, you have to show yourself friendly. Why, you think that you're to go and make abundance of friends. But the Bible tells you not to make abundance of friends. It says, if you have abundance of friends, you're doing it to your own destruction. And in the same book of Proverbs, it says, make no friendship with an angry man. And so if you are a Christian who has a short temper, you fly off the handle, the Bible says, don't be friends with that man. I'm to acknowledge you as a child of God. I'm to tell you when you speak out wrongly and so forth, but the Bible says, make no friendship with such a man. If you're a child of God and you sin, the Bible tells me to have nothing to do with you. You say, but I'm your brother, I'm your sister in Christ. The Bible says this. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. And so, I'm to purge myself from you if you have proved yourself to be a vessel of dishonor. And the Lord Jesus says this. He says, if your brother sins against you, you go tell him his fault, and you enforce it, and you do not let him escape this sin. And the Savior says, if he will not listen to you, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Who told me that? The Savior. And so you are a Christian. If you persist in sin, the Lord Jesus says, I'm to have nothing to do with you. I'm to look upon you as a heathen, an unconverted man, and a tax collector. And so that's what the Bible means when it says, a man of friends does it to his own destruction. Go and embrace all of these Christians that are filled with anger, that are filled with criticism, that are vessels unto dishonor. Make them your friends, and you're disobeying the word of God. You have to try to change them. And when they change, then the attitude should be different. But until then, you are not to be a man of many friends, but a man of a few friends that are of the right kind. Let me show you what it means when it says, a man of friends to his own destruction. Let's see how good any brother is. Who in the Bible, who has ever heard of this man in the Bible named Hira? He was a friend you didn't want, and yet he seemed to be a good friend. Judah had a friend named Hira, and Judah was a wicked man, a lustful man, and he saw this prostitute, and he went and engaged her services, and then she said, I demand payment. And so he says to his friend Hira, here, go take the thing she wants, you go and pay her all for me. If you ever have a friend and he's prepared to go and engage in such activities to accept your sinful, adulterous behavior toward womankind and then to go and pay off what this prostitute charged for her services, then that's the kind of friend you're to dissociate yourself from. And not only that, some of you have relatives. Jonadab was the first cousin of Amnon, who was David's son. And Amnon had a sister named Tamar, and he was filled with lust for that woman. And Amnon, though he was a sinner, he did not have the subtlety, the cunning that Jonadab did. And so Jonadab said, "What? You want to know this woman carnally?" He said, "Let me tell you just what to do." And so he laid out a plan that was just what a carnal plan should be, and he was successful. If you have any friend that will aid and abet you in your lust of the flesh, get rid of that friend. Why? Because it cost Amnon his life. Yes, he had that fulfillment of the lust of the flesh, but Absalom was the brother of Tamar, and he waited his time, and when the time came, he slew his brother Amnon. Now, do you see why the Bible says, a man of friends to his own destruction? So choose your friends wisely. Even though they are Christians, you may respect them, you may admonish them, you may reprove them and rebuke them, but unless they are conformed to the image of Christ more or less, the Bible says you are not to count them as your friends. Like a Christian friend did something that was sinful and disappointed a brother, and the brother showed his displeasure, and the Christian said, "Don't you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you, but I do not trust you." And sad to say, there are some Christians that you can love because of Christ, but you're not able to trust them. And so that is why the Bible says, not have many friends. That means indiscriminately. Have as many friends as you can that are good friends. But the ones that are vessels of dishonor, it says, if a man separates himself from these. So you be a Christian who separates. I remember bringing that verse of scripture to an elder in a meeting, and he refused to accept it. He said, "I will accept nothing from the Word of God that separates Christians. The Lord Jesus is the one who says, separate yourself from this man. The Apostle Paul is one who says, put away that wicked man from among you." And so, if God's Son tells you, and Paul tells you, and the Scriptures tell you what to do, and you say, "I'm not going to do it, it's not of God," it means your thinking is not of God. And so, yes, we're to have all the friends that we can that are good friends, and the people that are bad friends, we are to get them, to encourage them, and to exhort them, and try to conform them to the image of Christ. And so, yes, let's have friends. Now, I read a book once, I think it was when I was just in my early teens, by Dale Carnegie, called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that was an excellent book, but I read it in my youth, and it said, compliment people, say good things about them. And so I would see a person that just got up in the morning, that were in their bedclothes, and their face wasn't washed, and their hair wasn't combed. I said, "Oh, you're looking so beautiful today. I like the way that you're dressed." And all of them understood that it was pretension, that it was false. And in like manner, some Christians will come and flatter you and tell you all of these things. That's not the way to win friends and influence people. It speaks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend loveth at all times. But it is good to be thankful, to acknowledge your indebtedness to people. It says, "Know them that are over you in the Lord, and exhort you, and esteem them exceeding highly in love for their works' sake." Those are the things that are expected of you. But flattery? No, nothing like that. God would judge you if that comes along. But there are people that do those things, and they try to win your friendship. But just as the Lord Jesus, when they came and flattered him, they said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a man of God. We know that you speak the truth. We know that you deal truly. You are no respecter of persons." And they said, now this is the question we have to ask you. And he said, you hypocrites. And so if you come and say, why, that's the most wonderful message I ever heard. Well, you may be right, but at the same time, I'm going to be wary of you. But what happens is that there are words in season, and there are words that are out of season. Yes, be grateful, be thankful, but do not be false. But one of the ways to make friends is to be appreciative, to be thankful. I know that there is a young man, and I've done things for him 2 or 3 times, and I could do much more for him, but he has never acknowledged by mail giving thanks for anything I ever did for him. And there's so much more I could do, and I would do it, but I'm not going to do it until the Bible says, be ye thankful. And so they don't have that comprehension. And that's the fault in Romans chapter 1. It says, neither were they thankful, and therefore God darkened their hearts. Be thankful, but at the same time, not falsely thankful. So one of the ways to gather friends is to notice something that is good and beautiful, truly, to notice what people do for you and be appreciative. Yes, that will make friends. That's good. But what is so beautiful about the Lord Jesus Christ is that He is your friend even if you are lost and there's nothing beautiful about you. One of the criticisms of the Lord Jesus was one of His greatest compliments. They watched the Savior and His behavior toward publicans and sinners, and they said, He's a friend of those publicans and sinners. Why? Because they saw the way He treated them. Have you ever seen some Christians that are so aloof when they're around the lost? They're not friendly at all. You see, they're doing you a favor. Yes, I will tell you how to be saved, but you stay there and you listen to me. The Lord Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, and people could see it. Now, what is so beautiful is this. You may be lost. And for that reason, I tell you that while you count your friends, you probably have fewer than you think you have. There is always one more, and you may not realize that you have. And that friend is Jesus. He is a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, He's not a friend of Pharisees and hypocrites. He's not a friend of the righteous, because He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And for a man to acknowledge his unrighteousness and his sinfulness, the Lord Jesus is your friend, and He is the only friend that it's really important to have. I want as many true friends as I can. I want to embrace you all. But if standing true to the Word of God and telling me to do not associate with such individuals, put away that wicked man from among you, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, if doing that drives all of you away as my friends. But the Lord Jesus is still my one friend, then I can forego the friendship of you all. And if all of you were my friends and lavished kindnesses upon me, but I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my friend, then all of the friendship of the world is worthless. And so, do you know Jesus is your friend? He is your friend. He wants to save you. But at the same time, that friendship will terminate in the coming day. I may tell you about it sometime, but not now. But right now, the Lord Jesus is the friend of publicans and sinners, and the world can see it, and the world would criticize Him for it, but I love Him for it, and it's a manifestation that He's the Son of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath brought forth the nature and character of God. God commended His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You look at Christ, and you see what love is. And he loves you even though you are a sinner. And he loves you after you trust in his Savior, even though you stumble. You may stumble 7 times, but a man that stumbles 7 times that belongs to the Lord, he will lift you up. It says, he restoreth my soul. So thank God for that. Jesus is the greatest friend. But now, let me tell you how friendships begin. When the nation of Israel was paralyzed in fighting a battle against the Philistines, Goliath was prancing up and down in the valley saying, "Give me a man." And this stripling David came, and he saw that challenge, and he said to King Saul, he said, "I'll take that man on." And Saul said, "You can't fight with that man. He's a man of war from his youth, and you are nothing but a youth." And David gave him his qualifications. And Saul said, "All right, I'll let you go. Put on my armor." And he was stumbling around in that armor. He said, "I can't use this armor." He said, "Just leave me to my own inventions." And he went forth with that smooth stone and a slingshot and struck Goliath in the forehead, and he fell down unconscious, and he took his sword and cut off his head. And it says this, once Jonathan saw David defeat Goliath, it said his heart was knit to David, and he loved him as his own soul. And so here is a man that fights for the people of God. He is courageous in his simplicity and sincerity. He goes forth and overcomes him just as he can. Who would not want to be a friend of such a man? And Jonathan turned out to be his true friend for this reason. You say you are my friend? Well, tell me if you are a friend the way Jonathan was. Jonathan was next in line to be king of Israel. And when he saw this stripling, this shepherd of an insignificant family, come and fight the giant, it says he took off his robe, he took off his sword, his bow, his belt, his attire, everything that had to do with royalty. He took it off and he gave it to David and he said, "It's yours." And his father said concerning Jonathan, "Don't you understand that as long as David lives, you'll never be king?" And Jonathan said to David, he said, "You are going to be king," he said, "and I want to be second next to you." Now, if you are that kind of friend, please come. You are one of those that I want to be my friend. But if you're like Jonadab, if you're like Hira, no. No such friendship. And so there are ways to make friends. I'll tell you one of the simplest ways. Go win the lottery. And you will discover friends that you never knew you had. People that had forgotten you. And that's what it says in the book of Proverbs. It says that those that are wealthy have many friends. And this is what those that have suddenly come into money discover. They have many friends. And it says this, a man that gives gifts has many friends. And so just go and give gifts like the politicians, you see. That's how they get elected. They give something of great cost to the city that they're from, something that's undeserved, but they give it, and then the next time they're elected to Congress or to the Senate again, just give gifts. The Bible says you'll have friends. But what kind? The kind that will only vote for you if you keep giving them things. And so the Bible tells us there is a great variety of friends, and that kind of friend I do not want. So many things I could tell you, but I shan't. So there are ways to make friends, and the Bible tells you to make friends, because I read to you in Luke 16, it says, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. If there is any understanding in your heart, the greatest friend that you have in the world is the person that led you to Christ. You'll read in the book of Philemon that the Apostle Paul is asking him for a request. And he says, I ask you for this, but he said, I want to remind you that you not only owe that to me, but you owe your own soul to me as well. Why? Because I led you to Christ. You're going to be in eternity with the Lord Jesus. We're going to be together in heaven. I led you to Christ. Now, I want you to do this for me. How could you refuse? And I can mention a man, J. Leroy Kuhlman. That man, in the month of March in 1946, led me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I owe him everything. I'm going to be in heaven. Why? Because that man led me to Christ. Others were involved, but he is the one that led me to Christ. And so the Bible says, make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness. There are those that you have spent money on. You've given gifts to win them to Christ. And it says, if you do that, that is the way to make a friend. If a man has any discernment, any character, and you've won him to Christ, he's going to be your friend forever. He's going to be a friend that will stick closer than a brother, one that will stand by you at all times. And the Bible says, now, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. That is what you're to do with the material things of life. Make friends out of them. Win them to Christ. Now, it's hard to wait to make friends, but the sad thing is that it's so easy to lose friends. And I will tell you how to lose a friend. Criticize that friend, know something from the Word of God, take a stand on it, and be immovable when it comes to it, and you will lose that friend. I've seen one friend after another go out of my life. Why? Because the Bible says that once you are married until death you do part. And they have divorced and gotten married again. And the Savior says, you commit adultery. And I told them that. And the friendship immediately ended. They said, I want to marry again this person that's divorced. I said, if you do that, all is lost. You become an adulterer. And so you want to lose friends? Just tell them the truth from the Word of God. You will see how quickly you lose those friends. I've seen one after another lost. And at the same time, tell them the truth at times about something that is unpleasant. I remember a man whose preaching was so terrible, he had to drive 50 miles and get up at a remembrance meeting before anybody would listen to him. And go and tell that man, just say it nicely, your ministry is unprofitable. It is unedifying. And what happens is that you are one who has no discernment. You have no judgment. You cannot see gift when it's before your face. All you have to do is to go and tell people the truth. But what happens is that when you do tell them the truth, Paul asked this question, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? The Lord Jesus lost abundance of friends in John 6 by telling them the truth. He was preaching that he was the bread of God from heaven. And when it was hard to them, instead of making it lighter, he made it harder and harder. It said, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And the Lord Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, would you also go away? And so I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you get up and leave or not. I will speak the truth in love. That's one of the best ways to lose friends. Instead of being a man of many friends, you will have less friends, unless it is a Christian of discernment. And it says a wise man embraces rebukes and corrections, because he grows stronger and he is restored to the Lord. And so the Bible is filled with friends, good and bad. And these are some remarks about friends in life. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that, whereas you said it's not good for man to be alone and you provided a wife for him. At the same time, our Father, you tell us about friends, make friends. We are thankful for the sweetness of friends. We are thankful for the comfort, the strength, the support that true friends give us. Our God, we know something about the disappointment of friends as well. And so, let us not be friends in word, but let us be friends, our God, in deed and in truth. Let us be friends that stick closer than a brother. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.